Start off with something funny. By the way, I wanted to say thank you to all of you who have been sharing your jokes and your funny stories with me, giving me more material. Although that might mean that you think my stories aren't funny enough, but that's okay. This story I'm going to share is from Ruth Moderman. So if it's not funny, blame Ruth. A preacher went to his church office on Monday morning and discovered a dead mule in the churchyard. So he called the police. Since there didn't appear to be any foul play, the police referred the preacher to the health department. The health department said that there was no health threat, so that he should call the sanitation department. Sanitation department said they could not pick up the mule without authorization from the mayor. Now, the preacher knew the mayor and was not too eager to call him. The mayor had a bad temper and was generally hard to deal with. But the preacher called him anyway, and the mayor did not disappoint. He immediately began to rant and rave at the pastor and finally said, "Why did you call me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" Preacher paused and then replied, "Yes, Mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." Thank you, Ruth. Do you know God is with us here this morning? Here in our church, He's sitting next to you. If you wanted to nudge Him with your elbow, you could. He's standing next to me. He's all among us. I know this because Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." God is here this morning. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, is here this morning. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, is here this morning. Jehovah Ra'ah, the God who is our shepherd, is here this morning. Jehovah Nissi, the God who is our banner, is here this morning. El Shaddai, Yahweh, Adonai, El Elyon, the God who has many, many names, is living, breathing, feeling, loving, right here with us this morning. And we get to worship Him with song, with thanksgiving, with praise. Is there anything else you would rather be doing than being here worshiping our most holy God together as His blessed, redeemed, saved children? Is there anywhere else you would rather be than sitting or standing here on this holy ground? Yet, an interesting thing happens with this connection that we feel with God, this love we feel for God, this dependence, this reliance, this need. Things get between us. Silly things. Insignificant things. We'll read in a newspaper article about something terrible that happened on the other side of the world, and the author might imply, knowingly or not, that something similar could happen to us. And a seed of fear is planted in our hearts that gets in the way of us and God. We'll be having a rough day. And maybe we're not feeling well, or maybe we've got some bad news, or the funny story at the beginning of the sermon wasn't that funny. That's hypothetical. And We see an object. We'll see a new pair of shoes, or we'll see a new dining room set, or we will see a new car. And we think having that possession is somehow going to make us feel better. And that feeling gets between us and God. We might be having a rough day for all of those reasons, and we see a donut, or a cheeseburger, or a glass of wine. And we remember the feeling that we get when we eat that or when we drink that, And we turn to them to soothe us or calm us, and that feeling gets between us and God. Sometimes we get distracted. We might be submitting to God. We might be worshiping God and loving God and losing ourselves in God. And then we begin to think, I wonder if other people are watching me. I wonder if they think that I'm weird for kneeling down or for raising my hands. And our thoughts about other people's opinions get in the way between us and God. And then when we let enough of those things get between us and God, scary news reports, security and comfort in stuff and in food and worrying about other people's opinions about us, we let fear and doubt and worry come into our lives and we wonder, is God really here? Does he really provide? Does he really heal? Is he our banner? Is he our shepherd? And so our job this morning and all the days of the rest of our life is to actively keep those things out, the things that get between us and God, keep them out of our lives. We have to get rid of them. We have to quit them. And so I would like to welcome all of you to our brand new worship series that we're calling Quitter. And we're using some imagery for this series. You probably have noticed some umbrellas hanging in the sanctuary. I hope you have noticed some umbrellas hanging in the sanctuary. I have to thank Darlene and her family for taking time Friday to put these up. Thank you very much. Isaiah 45:8 says, "Let the clouds pour down righteousness." And so we're using the image of rain as God's grace and love and mercy and righteousness. And you know, if God's grace was rain, the last thing you would want to do is use an umbrella to shield you from that grace. So these umbrellas are actually going to be representing the things that we want to give up. So let's look at our scripture lesson. And we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 through 20. And it's a conversation that the king of Israel at the time, Ahab, he's having with the prophet Elijah. And Ahab is mad at Elijah because for 3 years he has withheld rain, which can also be seen as God's grace. He's withheld rain from the land. If we go back to the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17, we read, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" And he does it. There's no rain. So understandably, the next time the two meet, Ahab the king is pretty upset. And I want to focus on a specific verse that's going to help us in the next couple weeks. And it's verse 21 that says, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.'" And I think that question can be asked of us today. How long will you waver between two opinions? You know, Joshua, who was leading the Israelites in the Promised Land about 400 years before this conversation is taking place with Elijah and Ahab, he asked something very similar. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." How long will you waver? Choose for yourselves. You know, since I've been preaching here, this idea of choice seems to be a recurring theme that I keep finding in the Bible. God seems to be saying, okay, good people of West Willow, here's the good news and here's the bad news. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I want you to follow me because you choose to. I want you to believe in me because you choose to. I want you to love me because you choose to. And so once again this morning, we find ourselves needing to make a choice. Are we going to follow, believe, and love God today? You may remember the choice Joshua made. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. We should try that again, and we can get an amen on that. Thank you, Joyce, for inspiring me. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Amen. I got hands up in the back. And I have to tell you, that is an easy choice for me to follow God with all of my heart, mind, and soul when I'm here, when I'm with all of you. It's so easy. But when I step outside, I find that I get bombarded with all kinds of messages that don't come from God. And they're messages that sometimes will contradict God or minimize God or even doubt God. And so I've come up with a plan, a strategy for all of us. For the next week, we're going to take a serious look at what messages we allow into our lives. And we're going to cut out or quit those messages that don't agree with God's Word. Are you okay with that? Okay. Who reads the newspaper? Oh, quite a few old timers. I meant traditionalists. Oh, I think one person in the 8:15 service raised their hand. Only one. Yeah, that surprised me. I thought it'd be more flip-flop. Okay. So I want you to take a break from reading the newspaper for a week. I know. It's a challenge, right? Just a week, not forever. Here's why. Hear me out. Hear me out. Does the newspaper seek to glorify God? No, right? No. The newspaper seeks to sell advertising, right? That's how they make money. And that's important for us to remember, because the newspapers have discovered by writing stories that scare you and make you afraid, you will keep reading them because you want to be informed of the danger. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" Our opinions today, the two opinions we're wavering between, are the good news and the world news. Do you like that? The good news and the world news. So seriously, if you If you read enough news today or hear enough news today, you are convinced that the terrorists are right down the street. Immigrants are ruining our country. And there's not a single honest politician left in the world. All right, that last one might be true. No, I'm kidding, right? But can you see how this perspective, it skews our world and it increases our doubt and our fear and our worry, which shields us from God's love? Let me show you what I mean. Do you know the probability of any of us getting killed by a terrorist? Anybody look this up lately? It's 1 in 20 million. Okay? Remember that number. Do you know the probability of one of us dying from heart disease? 1 in 4. Yet I have not seen a headline in the news about heart disease in the last couple of years. During the presidential election debates last year, I never heard heart disease come up once. The news that we read is not an accurate picture of the world. This goes for radio as well. It certainly goes for the internet as well. It's time to take a break and go back to God's word. How long will you waver between two opinions? So let's apply this. Here's the headline. And this is a headline that I pulled from June last year. Social Security insolvency is now 1 year closer. Meaning the Social Security system's running out of money, right? Will you choose to hold that opinion, or will you believe in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, knowing that if our government goes broke, if we go broke, God never goes broke? Amen? Here's a headline. This one's from February this year. Here's how hospitals are actually making us sicker. Will you choose that opinion, or will you put your eyes on Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who makes blind people see, the God who makes paralyzed people walk, the God who makes dead people live? Here's a headline, and this is for all of us here. Why is Christianity declining in the United States? Is that what we want to wake up thinking about all day long? Or will our eyes go to Jehovah Ra'ah, who is the God who is our shepherd, Jehovah Nissi, who is the God who is our banner, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Adonai? And we might say, well, you know, Christianity might be declining in other parts of the United States, but you know, here in Willow Street, Pennsylvania, things are looking pretty good. There's a bright, shiny little light in that little church on 118 West Willow Road. They even got a new lift. Amen? But do you see my point? What we choose to allow into our brains has the power to either strengthen our faith or destroy our faith. It can either help us see proof that God is working in and through our lives, or convince us that God is not really here, that He doesn't really care. And I'm here to tell you that God is here today. Amen. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." Your word, His word. Not the newspaper's word. Not the radio talk show host's word. Not the internet's word. How long will you waver between two opinions? As we get ready to leave here today, here's why this really matters. It's not the outside headlines that count. It's the inside headlines. It's the headlines we tell ourselves. And as we teach ourselves, as we train ourselves to ignore the news of the outside world, we can also teach ourselves to ignore our own headlines when they don't agree with God's word. The headline that says, I'm not good enough, or smart enough, or pretty enough, or kind enough, because God's love says you are. So we can drop our umbrellas of self-doubt and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Say that with me as we get ready to close. Let the clouds pour down righteousness. Or the headline that says we messed up too many times for God to forgive us, or that we've walked too far away from God and we can't come back. God says, my grace through Jesus says, that's not true. There's always a way back, so we can drop our umbrellas of regret and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Or the headline that says the sickness will never heal, the disability will never become overcome, the guilt and the shame will never be washed away, but God's power says that you are an overcomer. You are a child of the Most High God. You have been redeemed. You have been saved. And so we can drop all of the umbrellas that shield us from God's love and let the clouds pour down righteousness. And when we are asked, how long will you waver between two opinions? We will answer like Joshua did so long ago. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my West Willow Church family, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my West Willow community, we will serve the Lord. And if we do that enough times, if we do that morning, noon, and night, serve God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, that becomes the news. That becomes the headline. Jesus is alive in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. Jesus is alive in West Willow United Methodist Church. Jesus is alive. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with lots of stuff in our arms, lots of baggage, and give us the courage today, the braveness to just drop all of this, to quit it, to quit what the world says is important, to quit what the world says we should be afraid of, and help us put our eyes and our hearts and our minds on you, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who loves us more than anything. So we lift up this service. We lift up our lives to you through your Son, Jesus. Amen.